Nice. We did it.
We did it.
So we're in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Luke 14, 1 through 6. Okay, our passage today takes place on the Sabbath. Okay, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. It was meant for rest. And Jesus is eating with some Pharisees on this day in this passage. Pharisees and I guess lawyers, but he was eating with some Pharisees. Pharisees were very strict keepers of the Sabbath, okay? They were so strict, like they were like, this day is meant for rest, and so we're actually going to even make up all these rules. They were so strict that they even counted the amount of steps that they could take on the Sabbath. Like, that's how strict they were on the Sabbath. They're like, if you walk more than, I don't know how many steps it was, but if you walk more than 30 steps on the Sabbath, you're breaking the Sabbath. Essentially, it's not the exact rule, but that's how much they cared about keeping the Sabbath. That's how strict they were about the Sabbath, okay? And as Jesus is eating with these Pharisees, the people who really are strict with the Sabbath, this man walks in and he's sick. He's hurting and he needs to be healed, okay? But Jesus is sitting with the Pharisees and this question comes up. Is it lawful, is it okay to heal, to do good, to heal on the Sabbath? All right? What do you guys think? Is it lawful, is it okay to do good, to heal on the Sabbath? Yeah. Is it work? Is it work though? Is it, you know, what do the Pharisees think? All right, we're going to find out. Well, we're going to kind of get into it here a little bit. So let me read the passage and think about these things. There's sick man, there's Pharisees, the Sabbath. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? I'm going to read Luke 14, 1 through 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Dropsy was like, it could have been caused by a lot of things, but it was like a swelling of the body, like legs, arms, maybe different places. And it could be caused by all different things, but it was uncomfortable. It was painful. So this man comes in and he had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? The Pharisees, but they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to the Pharisees, which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. They were silent again. Let me pray. God, would you speak to us in this silence? Would you speak to us? And would you even heal us tonight of whatever is wrong or broken? Would you breathe new life into it, even now? We ask that you would just help us to listen, settle our hearts, and speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Nice. So we might be silent for some different reasons, right? Sometimes when we're silent for different reasons. Sometimes when I was in school, I'd be sitting in my class, and my teacher would ask a question, and I would want to raise my hand, but I would be silent because I would be scared I'd be scared to answer. You know, like I'd want to, but I was silent because I was scared. You know, maybe that's one reason. Sometimes me and Cass and Junia and our dog Zona usually go over to my parents' house on Sundays, and we have dinner with them. And oftentimes we order dinner from somewhere, and the question's always like, does anyone have any preference? Like, what do you guys want to order? And the room is just silent. And the reason everyone's silent then is because no one really wants to step on other people's toes. They want to be polite, you know. So then it kind of takes us like an hour to figure out what we want to eat because everyone's being silent and polite, okay? We're silent during prayer a lot of the time, right? Because in reverence to God, to listen to God, we're silent. I was at a soccer game last weekend and someone got hurt. A kid got hurt. And he's like on the grass, you know, and everyone else takes a knee and they're silent because they're being respectful. You know, there's a lot of different reasons that we're silent, right? Whether we're afraid or respectful or reverent or being polite, there's a lot of different reasons why we might be silent. In our passage today, Jesus is eating with some Pharisees and there is a lot of silence from the Pharisees. Pharisees don't say much. There's a lot of silence. Actually, there's three separate times where the Pharisees are silent. And so we're going to look at those and ask, we're going to see like why. We're going to break down why might the Pharisees be silent in these situations, okay? First, in verse 1, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Okay? What does it note here? It doesn't say that they welcomed Jesus and were conversing with him or talking with him. They might have been, but what it notes is that they were watching him. As Jesus walks in, I just imagine the Pharisees, I imagine this quiet room, and the Pharisees just watching him as he's going about, as he's talking. And they're just watching him. And why might they be just silently watching him closely, actually. They're watching him carefully. You know, I'm not sure if they were just really silent here. They might have been talking too. But what the text, what it notes here, what Luke notes here is that they were watching him. Not that they were talking to him or with him, but that they were watching him carefully. And I imagine it in silence. And you know what? I think that they're trying to watch his every move. They're silent and they're watching his every move. And I think that the silence here in the beginning of this passage reveals something about the Pharisees, that they are judgmental. They're silent because they're being judgmental. They're watching Jesus' every move. They're waiting for Jesus to mess up, to slip up, to say something, to do something that maybe they can come down on him about, that they can have him arrested or labeled as a heretic for. They're silent and they're watching him, and their silence is because they're judgmental. Okay, so that's one reason why the Pharisees might be silent. It's because they're judgmental. But then there's some more silence in this passage, okay? In verses 3 and 4. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, he asked them this question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And then this is what it says in verse 4. But the Pharisees remained silent. It actually says they were silent then. Jesus asked them the simple question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Why didn't the Pharisees answer? Why didn't they talk? Why did they just stay silent? Right? There's this man who comes in who has dropsy. He's probably in really uncomfortable pain. His body's probably swelling. He's probably been in this kind of pain for a while. Who knows how long he's been in this pain? And Jesus turns to the Pharisees and he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And I bet he's like, everyone knows who he's talking about. Everyone knows what Jesus is asking. Can I heal this guy on the Sabbath? He's asking the Pharisees this. But the Pharisees don't answer, right? They remained silent. And why do they remain silent this time? I think that they're a little skeptical. They're a little skeptical of this question. They hear Jesus ask this. And I think that they're not really trusting of Jesus. They're a little skeptical. They're maybe even insecure. You know, there's other places, and actually on Sunday in Mark, I preached from a passage and where the Pharisees come to Jesus and they're asking him a question, not because they genuinely want to know the answer, but because they want to trap him. And I wonder if they're a little skeptical of Jesus here, wondering if Jesus is trying to trap them because it's what they've done. They're a little scarred by what they've done, by their own sin, by the ways they've tried to trap others, that they can't trust Jesus. They can't trust that Jesus is genuine. You know, they know that they've asked questions in the past to try to trap Jesus. And I think that they fear that Jesus might be trying to do the same to them. And because they're skeptical, because they're untrusting, because they're insecure, they remain silent. Another reason for silence. So the Pharisees are silent because they're judgmental. The Pharisees are silent because they're skeptical. And then there's some more silence, just a lot of silence. In verses 5 and 6. And Jesus said to them, so the Pharisees remained silent. And then Jesus said to them, which of you, well, Jesus heals the man. And then he says this to the Pharisees. Which of you, he's talking to the Pharisees, having a son or having an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? And then how do the Pharisees respond? In verse 6, it says this. The Pharisees could not reply to these things. They have no reply. They're silent. Right, Jesus heals this man and then turns back to the Pharisees. And then I think this is a deeply personal question that Jesus asks the Pharisees. He turns to them and he says this, if you have a son, or even if you just have an ox, something that's not even as valuable as a son, and they've fallen into a hole on the Sabbath, are you just going to leave them there? Are you just going to leave them there? And he's asking the Pharisees this, or are you going to take them out? He's like, don't you ever help on the Sabbath? Don't you ever try to heal and do good for your family, for your things, for your possessions on the Sabbath? He looks him in the eyes and he says this. And I got to give some credit to the Pharisees here, because instead of getting defensive or trying to be like, oh, well, you know, trying to make up excuses. I sometimes make up excuses and don't like to just like take when I get got. You know, sometimes I get got and I'm like trying to be defensive. But the Pharisees here, they're like, okay, yeah, he got us. And they could not, it says they could not reply to these things. There's silence. Silence. And there's silence here because I think they stand condemned. They're standing there and they hear Jesus' words and they're like, wow, we are guilty.
of these things, the thing that we're trying to trap Jesus in. I'm sure the Pharisees want to say, no, they're trying to trap Jesus. They want to say, Jesus, you shouldn't be doing this, when they would do the same thing. They're condemned and they are in the wrong. And I think the Pharisees have come to the realization that if they're going to cast Jesus out, if they're going to say, Jesus, you're wrong for healing on the Sabbath, then we must be wrong as well, because we do it all the time. And I think the Pharisees realize this. And so they're silent because they're condemned, because they realize they're guilty. And you know what? Sometimes, right, there's silence for all sorts of reasons, like I talked about before, right? Maybe because we're scared to answer a question, or we're being polite or reverent or respectful. But sometimes we're silent because we're condemned, because we're found out, because we're guilty too. Sometimes we're silent because we realize that we're guilty. You know, those moments where, like the Pharisees, we realize just how judgmental we've been. You ever realize how judgmental? You ever have those moments where, like, wow, that was really judgmental of me? And what can you do but just be silent? Or you know what? Sometimes when you reflect on the ways that you're maybe more skeptical or untrusting than actually trusting and seeing the good in others, and we're just waiting for someone, watching for them to do bad instead of actually believing and trusting, or with God too. Or maybe it's that moment, I think we've all been in this moment, the moment that you're actually caught in a lie. You're talking to someone and you're caught in a lie, and all you can do is just be like, there's no response. It's just awkward. And you just have to sit there and be like, yeah, I just got caught in that lie. You know, there's all that silence that I think reminds us that we're guilty. Or maybe it's sometimes at nighttime when you're falling asleep and it's silent. Maybe you got your earbuds in. Maybe you don't. We all have those nights where we're just falling asleep, laying in bed, and it's silent. And we're just thinking about all that's wrong in our lives, all the wrong that we've caused and all the wrong that's been caused to us. And in that silence, just reminds us of the broken of our own sin, of the sin in the world, and it's hard. I have a lot of these examples. There's also this thing when you're face to face with someone that you hurt, and you know you need to say sorry, but there's just that like thing in you that like can't spit it out, and so you're just like sitting there, and you're like, I know I need to say sorry, but you can't, and there's silence. Silence, like all these other things, it can be for all other reasons, but also sometimes when we're in silence, sometimes when we're silent, it's because we're condemned or because we're guilty, because we know that we're guilty, because it forces us to think about our lives and the wrong that we've done, the wrong that's been done to us. You know, our lives are messy. They're full of good and bad, the ways that we failed, the good stuff that we've done, the ways that we failed to live up to who we know we should be, right? And failed to love God and others. And sometimes we're in silence and we're just like, wow, we're guilty. And maybe we start overthinking and thinking too much. But in the silence where we're condemned, where maybe we're thinking about all the ways that we failed, where we really have failed, it's true that we have failed, there's also this strong kind of silence, okay? I think of Jesus. There's a strong kind of silence that doesn't retaliate towards others when they say something mean to you, or when they bring false accusations against you. There's a silence where you're like, I know what's true. I don't need to say anything. And I think of Jesus when I think about that. I think of Jesus standing before the government, before the Jews who are condemning him, who are saying, you need to be crucified. And Jesus doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word because he knows what's true. He doesn't have to respond to them. And there's this strong kind of silence that he has. Jesus has no need to respond to false accusations because he knows what's true. He is truth. He's the way, the truth, the life. And I also think of this kind of silence that is just unhurried and patient, that listens instead of speaks. And that makes me think of God too. It makes me think of Jesus actually retreating to pray. He goes into the mountain by himself, over to the mountains by himself in silence, and he prays because he knows that God will speak to him in the silence, in the unhurried silence. Many people are coming to be healed, to see miracles happen, and Jesus goes away into the silence to be with God, his Father. So here's the good news about silence. As we think about silence in this passage, our silence sometimes condemns us. It sometimes reminds us that we're guilty. And none of us are perfect. We're all guilty of not loving others and not loving God like we should. It reminds us of our sin and of our shame. So here's what we can do. We can go to Jesus because he is the way and he is the truth and he is the life. So let's go to God right now in silence, knowing that he is present with us and that in the silence he listens. Let me pray and then we're going to actually take some more time in silence. God, we thank you that when you see us, you don't see just all our flaws or our shame or our guilt, but you see us and you don't need to retaliate or tell us just how terrible we are, but you see us as your children, as your sons and as your daughters. And that is such a beautiful thing. Would you help us just to be silent more in your presence and listening? And would you help us be reminded that you are unhurried and patient with us as well? So would you help us to go to you and listen in silence to what you might have to say to us? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.